Welcome to Pathways to Heart podcast series presented by the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning at Sophia University. Sophia University is located in California and offers students a unique educational experience rooted in transformative, transpersonal education. The Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning supports transformative education by creating engaged leaders and learners through resources, trainings, and events. This podcast series focuses on critical emerging issues in our communities. Today's podcast is a discussion with authors of a research study investigating features of online spirituality. Our first guest, Dr. Olivia Jenkins, is a recent PhD graduate of the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology at Sophia University. She is a passionate researcher, writer, traveler, and accordion player from Massachusetts. Our next guest is Petra Parvati Meet, a licensed psychologist, clinical hypnotherapist, Reiki practitioner, yoga teacher, and marriage and family therapist intern. She graduated with a master's degree in anthropology from the University of Freiburg, Germany, and with an MS in counseling psychology from the Inter-American University in Puerto Rico. She currently lives in Puerto Rico and is completing a PhD in transpersonal psychology at Sophia University. Our third guest, Melissa Caicedo Farbman, resides in the mountains of Colorado. She is a PhD candidate at Sophia University and holds an MA in clinical mental health counseling. She is curious and inspired by the mysteries, experiences, and transformative elements of nature and spirituality. Her current hobbies include hiking, ritual, and herbal medicine making. The interview is conducted by Dr. John Elfers. I'd like to welcome each of you today and thank you for sharing your experience with us on this fascinating topic. So first, Petra Parvati Meet, I'd like to welcome you.
Thank you so much. A pleasure being here.
And Olivia Jenkins.
Hi, John. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome. And Melissa Caicedo Farbman, welcome.
Hi, John. Hi, everyone.
Well, let's jump right in because I'm anxious to learn about your investigations on this emerging topic. So can you just start with, you know, what prompted this study for you three?
Yeah, so I can jump in first. I would say that for me, what was motivating and kind of between all of us is this study essentially was birthed from a really rich conversation that we had. We're all studying at Sophia, we're all talking about our dissertation processes, and coming from those sorts of conversations, we talk about what we're noticing about spirituality in the world. And there was just so much excitement that was happening between all of us and so much passion that was coming out. And I think that was essentially how our research was created.
Yeah, and can you just kind of, one of you briefly share, like, what was really the topic? Like, what were you going over? What was your research question? What did you want to know?
I think one of the things that we were really curious about was, like, you know, this new wave of spirituality, because we all have, like, access to, like, a social media, and we were just, like, amazed about, like, the kind of variety of like different offerings that are out there, and like sometimes also about like the, you know, some of them interesting, some of them actually like contributing to the base of knowledge, and some of them inspiring, but some of them like really just out there. So like we were just intrigued about what is going on. And I don't know if Melissa wants to add something to that.
Yeah, that was beautiful, Olivia and Petra. One thing I will add is in that conversation Olivia spoke about, we were looking at, spiritual leadership in the media, and there was a lot of alarming documentaries coming out of some spiritual leaders that were abusing their powers. And we were having a conversation about that, of safety and of, you know, having awareness of these types of experiences that are out there. And also, we noticed that some of the documentaries that were coming forward were showcasing some spiritual leaders that were on social media that some of us have even followed in the past. And so that was really important. That was kind of like a red flag that was going off, and we're like, as someone who has followed certain spiritual leaders and on social media, especially YouTube, you know, I kind of was curious to see what was the light in the dark of this new community that was being birthed in the world of online social media. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, if I think about it, it really makes sense, because social media has infiltrated like literally every aspect of our lives, right? It's difficult to even get away from it if we want. So on the one hand, it's not surprising in that spirituality should find its way in there. But there's also the dark and the shadow side. And it sounds like, yes, that was maybe one of the things that alerted you to that. And so, yeah, I'll be interested to learn about what you sifted out about that. But first, let's can you give a little summary about what were the mechanics and logistics of your research? How did you go about doing this? Did you just search the worldwide web, or what did you do?
Well, we decided to do an ethnography, like to start with, to even just explore what is even out there, because we just started in a conversation, and then we were like, let's find out if there's actually any research about it. And we found nothing, really. There was not a lot available about that specific topic that we were looking for. And then we were like, well, it would be interesting to like research this. So what we did was we developed some questions that are for like an analysis protocol that we could use to look at different profiles from different platforms, and just have like something where we could compare different like spiritual leaders in their content and like the way they present what they are talking about, what their followers are talking about them, because we would just wanted to have an idea what is actually out there and like what is happening. And we were really surprised about like the bandwidth that's out there, and about like, you know, that it is really we didn't think it's that big a deal, but when we really started the investigation, I think we all found that it really made sense to look at this deeper, because this is where a lot of the young generation is going for advice, and like, you know, and others, you know, but specifically like the millennials and like, you know, the younger generations. They use the internet daily. We all use it daily, but like, you know, so, you know, to not be aware of what is going on there is like, is missing a trend, I think. So we were really curious about that. And yeah, so we used the analysis protocols to look at different profiles, and like, and then we compared what we found. So that was the basics process. I don't know if anybody wants to add something to that.
Yeah, I would like to know what were some of the criteria then you were looking for in terms of content, in terms of maybe the reach? I think you had some criteria around how many followers they had and those kinds of things. Can you share some of those?
Yeah. So one of the criterion was to that each of the spiritual leaders had to somehow define themselves very specifically as a spiritual leader, spiritual guru, mentor, coach, but using that language in some form in their profile. They had over 10,000 followers, but we found that some of them had hundreds of thousands of followers. They had some kind of engagement with their followers, whether it was in the comments. They were somewhat active, at least, and not like a fan page or some kind of dedication page that someone made on their behalf. Somebody remember another piece to it?
So, I think they weren't religious.
That's
we
right.
Made sure they weren't religious leaders, that they were just spiritual, so they didn't have a connection with any specific group.
Yeah, no direct like spiritual or religious affiliation was a specific group that was apparent to us. Because that would be another research, very important one too. But like for this specific, for our first, you know, overview, we wanted to look at, you know, the in general at spiritual leaders that were not associated with religious groups or bigger spiritual groups.
Yeah, that makes sense. That would really sort of widen the net if you took in specific religion, because there's a lot of spiritual leaders out there who are affiliated maybe with a specific religion. Yeah, and there is a growing demographic of the spiritual but not religious. And so I think it's a very important demographic to go for. And so here you are, you're looking at all their websites and how they're presenting themselves. Did you feel like you were like doing some stalking or like a little stealth thing here? Was there any sense of that, or kind of eavesdropping, looking over their shoulder, or
So that's a funny and great question. I would say overall it was very enjoyable and entertaining. I personally have closed off my social media accounts for many years and was just popping up on Instagram once in a while, so to be able to like reopen my apps and engage in TikTok, which I never did before, go back on YouTube, open up my Instagram, and kind of look at these people's profiles, I felt like I was one of them. I felt like I was one of their followers. I didn't feel any different. And as I was going through their videos, I felt just sucked in, and I could see how social media kind of just like warps you into this place that there's no time or space, and hours will go by looking at these profiles, and then you look at the time and I'm like, wow, where have I been? Yeah, it was an interesting experience. And there were certain people that I felt drawn to more than others, for sure. And we'll talk about later kind of like the themes that came up. But it was very enticing, is very interesting, but as I said, enjoyable.
And I would say also that there's something really intimate about the experience when looking at people's profiles, because so many people take videos in their own homes or in their cars. And so you're really, it's almost as if you're having a conversation with a friend, or you're listening to a friend talk. And that level of intimacy is really interesting, and I think is part of the appeal of some of these leaders, because it gives people somewhere to go, or someone to listen to, or a community to sort of develop from that.
Yeah. And I would like to add that it's kind of like a little twofold, because on the one hand, they're out there, like, you know, so that's the difference with an ethnography and, you know, having like another form of research where you normally like ask for like a informed consent, and like, you know, it's a different process, it's more private, but like, because it's already out there in the world and they want to be seen normally, there's something about this like intimacy and like, you know, really like getting to see at least one side of these leaders that are like sharing their like life, sharing their experience, sharing their knowledge, their ideas. But on the other hand, it's also it's private, and it's like, you know, it's both there. And like we had like it wasn't like that we felt like eavesdropping, but we had like a conversation before we actually, because we presented like our results at a conference. So before we went to the conference, we had the conversation if we would include some of these clips or videos for, like, you know, because some of them are really interesting and they would definitely help to make like the point for, like, you know, to support our results. But we decided as a group to not do that, because some of them, even though they are publicly available, they might not want to be part of like a research, and like, you know, some of the followers too might be taken aback, or they might not like if their preferred spiritual leader is mentioned in a research about the dangers or like the abuse and use of power in spirituality. So, you know, it goes a little bit with the question, I think, because there was like a consideration about that.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I'm intrigued with the fact that you were able to find some level of intimacy and enticement to moving in. So if you're a good example, then maybe many other people too could be, you can understand how they could easily be drawn in and find meaning in some of these presentations and the word intimacy, you know, that you feel like maybe you're in a room with them and having a conversation. I'm curious, this leads me to think about, what do you think is some of the motivation for these spiritual leaders in reaching out that way? Did you have a sense of that or intuit anything? Melissa.
Yeah, so I think it varied. It was very diverse. Some people's motivation was clearly that they had a transformative experience, whether it was healing from trauma or having a transpersonal experience or some mental health crises, and they wanted to share that with the world to help others and also to normalize. I notice a lot of people talking about mental health and spirituality and bridging the two together. So, and you would see in the comments that their followers would be like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for speaking about this. I thought I was alone, whether it's some extreme transpersonal experience or just someone going through depression and finding meditation and yoga to help them. And then there were some people that were definitely riding on kind of like social media trends and, you know, kind of copying certain ways to gain followers and kind of being more humorous and entertaining and kind of funny. So it was hard to really know what their motivation is, right? All we could see is what we could see, and trying to remove our own biases of like, oh, okay, that person, I don't know about them, or, oh, this person's cool, you know, just to kind of see the facts, what's out there, what are they saying, how are they representing themselves, how are they connecting with their followers. So yeah, so a lot of it was motivated by their own experience and wanting to share their own experience with others to help others. And maybe some was just kind of like just to entertain people and have another cool profile to look at when you're bored. So,
and I would like to add, it's also like in that same line, like Melissa said, it's also some of them, it's really this like this joy of expressing yourself. Mm-hmm. And you know, sharing with the world who you are or like what you have to offer and like playing with that. Some of them, like, you know, we found like one category of our analysis was like, you know, kind of touched on that some of them, they really play with that, with the different like outfits they can wear, with the different environments they can use, with the different, like, you know, they sing, they, you know, they bring in different people, show different sides of their lives. And that is enticing too, because in a way it inspires others to do the same too, to be playful, to express yourself, to be content with who you are, and like, you know, that it's okay to share that with the world. So I think that's another way how to look at the benefits of some of these, like, you know, following these spiritual leaders, which I at least saw, and like, you know, because it was inspiring to just watch them, even though maybe I personally didn't like their style, but just to see somebody expressing themselves fully is a beautiful thing. So,
yeah, you know, it does make sense. If I think of spirituality, one of the primary characteristics of that is connection, you know, with other people. And so someone having a profound spiritual experience, maybe they live out in the boonies or they're isolated somehow, you know, we had the whole COVID sense of isolation. And so using social media and these platforms as a way to connect with others, reach out, share their experiences, that makes a lot of sense to me. So now I'm curious if we could kind of move into, okay, so what were some of the findings? And I suspect there's both the dark and the light. You've already mentioned that there's the dark and the light. And what were some of the just amazing things that moved you. You've already shared a few of them, like having a sense of time distortion, a lot of time going by, and wow, that was amazing. But then other things maybe that raised some red flags for you. How would you characterize your findings?
So, so as you mentioned, we, as spiritual researchers, we like to see both sides. We believe everything comes with, you know, a light and a dark, and they're both prevalent, and especially on online situations, as past research shows that social media can be dangerous to youth and to people for various reasons. So to start with the perceived benefits, we kind of covered some of them, but we found the benefits through looking at the comment sections. So a lot of them, we would look at the comments and we would see how their followers would respond, what kind of feedback they were giving their followers. We saw mostly positive comments and feedback, and that could be for various reasons. That could be that maybe only people that like them would follow them, and or it could be that maybe negative comments were deleted. So we don't know for sure. However, we did find that the followers were very inspired and motivated to go on a spiritual path. They were inspired and motivated to maybe practice if someone was teaching meditation or talking about meditation, and they would say, oh, wow, you know, I woke up with a lot of willpower to be myself today and to step into my highest power. As we mentioned, entertainment. It was very entertaining, and they're very charismatic and charming. They know how to like pull you into the screen, whether it's by like just eye contact or moving close to the screen, or their voice tone. Sometimes they were funny. One important thing was they provided a lot of information and knowledge. So some of the stuff that may have been not accessible to others, certain spiritual traditions, certain information, they kind of put it out in the open. They normalize it. And they're like, oh my God, I want to tell you about this. This is important. We found it to also be relaxing, as some people had like very calm voices, or they allowed you to kind of like drop into yourself, normalizing of experiences. As we said, people who had these transpersonal spiritual experiences and they didn't know how to put words to it, and maybe their communities would stigmatize them or shame them for having these experiences. So they were able to come to their favorite social media leader and say, oh my God, like this person gets me. I'm heard and seen, and my experience is valuable. Yeah, anything, I'm trying to think of anything else. Anybody else want to drop in to the observed benefits?
Yeah, like one of the really important ones was like support, like that they often, like the followers, they often felt supported. They might have been like lonely, like that was a theme, like I would think that we saw in like the comments, that often like people felt isolated because of their experiences, like that they felt different to others, or just because of like, you know, the way the world goes right now, or has been at that time when we did the research. But what they found in like listening to others, and like also in the comments, because often it's people writing comments and then others commenting to their comments, and there was in general a really feeling of support, and like we could see quite some comments that really expressed that thank you for that video, thank you for this, because it really helped me to feel, you know, to feel connected, to know that there's other people like me. And then some in the few profiles where we found, like for example, that we did see some comments about where people mentioned or shared in the comments that they had like serious mental conditions, or even were considering suicide. And we saw that often the community responded in a positive way by offering support, by offering just encouragement most of the time, sometimes even tools like, you know, that often made sense. So, you know, that was nice to see. And it was like, just looking at the comments, it was received well, and it helped that specific person that had made the comment. So I think that's a really important, you know, side effect or result that we found, because it's not in all cases, because we also saw a few cases where it's somebody mentioned a really, like, you know, a deep loss, and then it was kind of either not responded at all, or it was responded in a way that was more like kind of devaluing the experience. And, like, you know, so I think this is definitely one of the areas where there could be development, and where maybe the spiritual these spiritual leaders online could need support and learn how to work with these specific comments, because they happen, and they happen quite a bit, like even in the profiles that we looked at, like we saw them. So I think that's one. And then the other really important benefit is that some of the spiritual leaders that we looked at, they actually use their position, which is like, some of them, they have millions of followers, so that is like a big audience, and they use that to promote things or ideas or practices that are actually helpful for individuals, but sometimes for the community, maybe, like, you know, promoting community service, going to like a place where they help in a food kitchen, and by just them showing, this is like how I live my life, this is important to me, this is part of my spiritual practice, it sends the message out to the world, this is how you could do this too, and maybe you derive a benefit from it and make the world a better place. So I think that platform could be, in the best case, used for these kind of messages of, like, you know, making the world a better place. And I think some of them, they already do that, and that's nice to see. I don't know if anything else, Olivia or Melissa?
Yeah, so I think that, and this was kind of touched on also, is that some of these spiritual leaders will provide something like a one-stop shop for people to go to and discover all of these different ideas about spirituality. And that could be a really good thing, as far as, like, you think about going to some big store like Walmart and you find everything you need in one place. But on the other hand, it's like, how high is the quality and where is it coming from? And I guess to get more into the dangers, which I feel like I'm about to feel the bad news of it. But I would say that some of the dangers is what Petra was saying, as far as not really having a whole lot of credibility for some of the information that they're putting out there, and not really being able to see exactly where their qualifications are coming from, and do they need qualifications for what they're saying, and is anyone holding them accountable for these sorts of things, and what sorts of standards are in place for whatever it is that they're talking about. And even the when they have some comments with people who have suicidal ideations, how are they equipped to deal with those sorts of situations? And because that's important. And even using all of these different ideas kind of goes into the whole cultural appropriation sort of scenarios, and then you kind of get into some pseudoscience, spiritual bypassing. So there's a lot in there that's also worth looking more into, as far as the dangers. We also see that, because like other areas of social media, you get to put basically your best self out there, or whatever self that you want to show out there. And there's a level of control that, so we're only seeing the best of something, and that can have negative effects on people. I think we called it the Zoom effect, or it's called the Zoom effect in research. That also relates to spiritual consumerism, because people are thinking that they have to buy like 12 tarot decks or oracle decks and all of these crystals just to see if all of these different things and all these oils, if they're going to remedy them in some kind of way, and trying to figure out what's working and buying into the whole consumerism of it.
Yeah, thank you. This is really rich. I appreciate the observations about the sense of community that these platforms can create. And so people feeling a lot of support and supporting each other, not just the spiritual leaders. So that kind of mutuality and support seems like it really could be beneficial. And then I also know that all three of you have a background in mental health and mental health credentials. And so I'm sure you had that hat on as you were looking at this and seeing, you know, the potential danger. I don't know if I want to use that word, but the concern about maybe the kinds of advice that someone might be giving in terms of mental health and those kinds of things. So I would think that would be a really important thing to be aware of moving forward. As I recall, weren't some of your observations around the fact that people were putting out a lot of information about spirituality that maybe didn't come from them, and maybe they were claiming it. There was some, maybe a lack of credit to sources. Melissa, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah. So part of our research was kind of going into the spiritual leader's background. We were kind of trying to find information in their websites, in their social media pages, to be like, who are they? You know, what are their qualifications? And as Olivia said, it's hard when you're a spiritual being and you're providing spiritual services. It's hard to say what that looks like, right? But we were just curious to see what was there. And we didn't see a lot. So there were some people, I want to give credit to the couple of people that did have some actual trainings and experiences with well-known teachers. And however, but when we looked at most of the people's profiles, that was not included. It was just like, I'm here to help you. Specifically, I think what we found that could be dangerous was the people that were providing services. You know, social media is a soapbox for anybody to share their experience, and everyone should be allowed to share their experience without having to have credentials or anything. But when you're providing services to followers that may be in vulnerable situations, it's important that ethical and moral considerations take place. Are you trained properly if you're follower is having suicidality or having maybe a transpersonal emergency, a spiritual emergency? And so a lot of them were selling, you know, services of like, I want to help you with your trauma. Trauma was used a lot. Mental health issues, those keywords were used a lot. So I was kind of like, you know, where are the qualifications when you're working with these serious issues? This is not something to play around with, in my opinion, for the safety of their followers and the people that consume their information. So that was definitely highlighted in our research.
Yeah, that was wonderful, Melissa, how you put it all together. In that same line, but like, I think it's also like a double-edged sword in that sense too. Like there's two sides to this, like to the qualifications, because one, what are the qualifications for somebody to be a spiritual leader? We talked about that, like is, you know, direct knowledge a form of like qualification? Is awakening a form of qualification? Is psychic information that they receive through channeling a kind of information that is valid? These are all questions that I think it raises good questions. And I think it's up to us in transpersonal psychology to research them and like see, like, you know, I mean, there is already some research, but I think they are valid questions. And then the other side to that is like, if this is about mental health, why are these people not going to a psychologist for help? And I think that is the really important question, because I think there's some research about it, that whatever they're looking for, they don't expect it to find it in the office of a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Or even worse, though, they are afraid that what they would share would make them crazy or whatever it is, or like in any way distance them even more from their families, from their lives, from their future. So I think it also brings up a really important point about what psychology looks like and what we may need to look at in how we want to continue psychology, to really be able to meet the people where they are, instead of just having our models and like putting them on the people, which, you know, it's changing, thankfully. But I think it's really important to see the data, which comes from, like, you know, it's a good source of data in that sense, because it gives us the tendencies or the preferences of people, and they seem to very much prefer to follow somebody that talks about mental health topics, that is a spiritual leader, compared to a psychologist that is on YouTube too. Like, there's many psychologists, and some of them are really successful, but I think it's a really interesting distance that is maybe can be observed between psychology and spirituality, and between what is needed and what is offered. So yeah, maybe we can have a little more of a conversation later about that. But I think that is something exciting for me, like it's something very interesting to look at, and like it can inform us in bringing psychology to a place where it can actually do what it's designed to do, which is helping people to have better mental health, I think. So
yeah, you know, you bring up some really good points. You know, the one that there's not necessarily any supervision or policing this whole movement. And it is important for people to be able to share honestly their experiences and have that kind of freedom. But then you're also bringing up, yeah, what might be motivating people to do that? And the failure of mainstream psychotherapy and psychiatry to address spirituality and spiritual needs. And of course, this is all familiar to us in transpersonal psychology, because we believe in the connection between mind, body, spirit, and soul. So this is where we all land, and it is the lens by which you are looking at all of this. So my next question, I'm really curious, if you were to counsel someone who, say, is out there surfing, you know, the different platforms looking for some kind of spiritual guidance, what advice or cautions, based on your research now, what advice or cautions would you give that person? What would you say?
Well, I think it's a little early to like give recommendations, because it was a small sample. Like, it was a first overview of what is out there. And we do want to continue to explore this more, because I think that is where we want to get eventually, to like have some recommendations. But I also would like to refer to a very interesting organization, or that is actually like working with like not developing any kind of licensing for spiritual leaders, but for kind of providing guidelines. And it's called the Association for Spiritual Integrity, ASI. And you can find them online at spiritual-integrity.org. And they're a really wonderful group of professionals that have come together to like actually bring out and like define some of these principles that could be helpful both for spiritual leaders that want to be ethical and want to be spiritually like have spiritual integrity, but also for anybody that might be interested in following any kind of like spiritual group to be, you know, to be safer. Maybe it's always like a lot is up to the individual, but at least there are some guidelines that are really useful.
No, I was just going to jump in and say that, and in fear of getting too far ahead with advice, that I think not even with in regards to choosing a spiritual leader to follow on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube, that we could all probably use a little more self-awareness with our social media use. And one thing that this project really taught me is to engage with a little bit more self-awareness on the content that I view. And even COVID has kind of taught me that too. You're making better decisions about what I'm seeing and discerning what information, where it's coming from. And but I think that if we're more aware of our social media patterns and the sorts of things that we're really drawn to, that can help a lot to understand what it is that we need, what we're looking for, and who might have potentially the best intentions.
And lastly, I would add, ask questions. Anytime you're, you know, looking for, whether even if it's a therapist that's licensed, or if it's a shamanic healer, if it's a spiritual coach, if it's even a Reiki master, whoever it is, ask questions. Do a little bit of digging, look them up, see what's out there, see if they have reviews, and ask them questions. If you're coming into, if you find a spiritual leader that's providing services for a certain experience, ask questions. You know, what is your experience with that? What trainings or life experiences do you have in these, in helping people with this situation? What is your background? And kind of just be curious, stay curious, stay open, ask a lot of questions, and know that there are people that have great intentions, and there are people that maybe their intentions aren't the highest, but just keep that in mind. Like Olivia mentioned, self-awareness, and Petra mentioned like a website that you could go to and just like gather more information before you put yourself in a vulnerable place with someone else.
Thank you. That's really good advice. I appreciate that. And I think one of the values of your research is that you can begin to heighten awareness for other people just on the face of it, everything that you've learned. And I hope you're going to have opportunities for sharing. And so, yeah, what I really wanted to end with here is asking the three of you, what's next for your research? Is there a part two, another phase? How do you see expanding this moving forward, if at all?
Well, actually, I would like to continue like the thought that, you know, we ended on like with Melissa, because one of the things that we kind of identified as one of the elements that could be a key element for a good spiritual leader is something called intellectual humility. And there is, you know, and we definitely would like to know more about what motivates the spiritual leaders, and also what are their qualities, what are their psychological and personal background, and apart from their professional background. So one of the things we would like to do is maybe interview different of these spiritual leaders, and also use, there's like a questionnaire that's called Hexaco, which looks at six personality factors, one of them being humility and honesty, which would be really helpful for our research to like see if that specific area is in any way differently represented than maybe a control group. So that would be something really that we would be really interested in. Obviously, like a bigger sample, like we would like to have a bigger perspective, like not just the profiles that we looked at, but like have a broader perspective about what is out there and like actually measure certain personality traits and also have more information about what is it that they personally like, you know, what is their personal, what are they like, and then what is their motivation and what are their challenges too, like, and how did each of them like face them, like, you know, how did they were they able to work with difficult followers, for example, or what did they do? So we will be curious about that. That's one part. And I don't know if Melissa or Olivia want to add something to that.
Yeah, I would say something that was really interesting to me about this study and that I would like to learn more about in variations in future studies, assuming that we're all going to want to work together again, that spirituality seems to be changing a lot. And with the rapid nature of social media, it's really interesting to kind of keep up with it and understand which direction it's going and where people's interests and their sense of meaning and purpose is headed towards. And so I think that will be an element that I'm also really interested in learning more about later.
Okay. Melissa, did you want to add anything or?
I think Petra and Olivia covered it, but I just want to say that like online spirituality is definitely becoming more accessible in mainstream, and sacred teachings that were once only given to maybe students and initiates of sacred practices are now being open to all, which is exciting. And however, like keeping in mind of holding these teachings with honor and respect and having an intention of why you're sharing these teachings and how you're doing it. So that spirituality can be a vehicle for the highest good of all and not just for ego and, self-indulgence.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I really want to acknowledge the foresight and far-sighted nature of your research. It's a very emerging, relevant topic. This is important. I hope you're able to really get the message out to people. And I'm also encouraged by the fact that you are going to be continuing the research because I think it's important. And then my hope is that maybe down the road, you can all three come back in and share, you know, updates on your progress as you continue with this research. So I want to thank the three of you for participating and sharing your experience, and we'll look forward to seeing you down the road, hopefully.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For more podcasts or information on educational programs at Sophia University, go to www.sophia.edu. Thank you for listening.